A man found himself in a strange town that he was traveling through on business. Being a Christian and being wanting to share in a church service, he found a church nearby on Sunday morning and placed himself in the pew and settled in and began to listen to the pastor. And the preacher got to going and kept on going. And after 2 hours of steady preaching, the man began to squirm in his seat and began to wonder what and how long this would take. And so he leaned over to the fellow next to him and he whispered, "How long has this preacher been preaching here?" And the fellow looked at him for a minute and said, 10 years. And the man said, "Well, I guess I'll go ahead and stay. He's bound to be about done." Would you give with love and charity as the ushers are called forward? Heavenly Father, in these moments, in these times, lessons come to us through the simplest of measures. What we perceive as just sometimes life and the way it is actually that force working against us to lead us away. When we hear people speak of being a Christian, while they continue to do things that are of the world, we wonder where and how long you will tarry. Lift us up, Father, and give us that prayer. Give us that strengthening, that quickening that comes from knowing you as we do. But the first thing, forgive us of our own sins. Forgive us of our own failings. Take away from us the fact that we have fallen short and give us the next chance. Blessed we are for your grace and mercy and your covering. Heavenly Father, we come before you asking that you pray, that you hear our prayers as we pray for Suzanne, for Hannah and for Frank, for Chris and for Carol. Each of them taking a step in their own journey, but yet needing that uplifting, that covering, that grace. We ask, Father, that you would be with those who are shouting your praises back here in church with us today. Answered prayer in the form of healing. And for those that are unable to be with us here today due to sickness, we ask that you watch over them, especially in the case of those children. Be it my sons or the great-great-grandson. And thankful we are for their voices, hearing them as they try to please you by learning you. And Father, for this country, as it continues to what seems to us revolve away from your foundation, pray that you put a man in power that will stand up for God and for Jesus and be not ashamed of it, nor let others tell him to be ashamed. We pray for the district, Father, that governs us. We pray for the general board. We pray for those who teach. We pray for those who serve us. We pray, Father, that you would ever keep us humble and knelt before you, seeking your guidance. This we ask as we pray the way Jesus has us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture today comes from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. The sermon title, as you can see, is "Can You Relate?" And what is funny is listening to the joys and concerns this morning, watch how the sermon has begun to tie it up. I get to smile a little bit because I know what I'm going to say. But the Hebrew writer in that fifth chapter is writing about how Jesus is the great high priest. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Every high priest is selected among from men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ did not also take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and then was once made perfect. He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest. May God add this blessing to our heart. May he enjoin us together as we seek his message. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds and give us this message today from you, through me, to our hearts, that we may know you better, that we may be strengthened and more prepared for what the world puts against us. Let us break open the bread of labor today in your world and set aside the labors from our world. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If we back up a minute, while you still got your Bibles open to Hebrews, if we back up a minute, it all started last Sunday. Back up in the fourth chapter to the 14th verse. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." It all started right there last Sunday as I was using that to support a different sermon. I began to hear something in the back of my head. I began to think of Christ the way the Hebrew writer was writing about him. I began to think a little bit more of a defining way of Christ than I have as of late. Perhaps something that I have been getting complacent on. Perhaps something we all have been finding ourselves short in. In the new job, I have been interviewing people left and right. I have interviewed something like 10 or 15 people. And I have sat and listened to people talk. And I have heard the same question asked over and over again. "Why are you seeking this job?" And I hear some of the same things that I once heard, or probably once said. "Oh, I need to take care of my family. I need a job. I need to work. I need to be productive. I need. I hear some of the thoughts and fears in them. "I worked for this company for so long and it went belly up. I worked for this company for so long and I didn't get along with the management and I had to leave. And now I'm unable to find work." I stood right in that same place. I was in that same moment not more than a month ago. Wondering how, what, where, how, when, why? It become more evident to me that I am seeing a greater need for spreading the gospel. Greater need. Isn't that funny, Carol? What you brought out today. We have a greater need for spreading the gospel, not good cheer. I listened to a pastor briefly, and I mean briefly, this week, who began his sermon by saying these words: God wants you to be rich. He wants you to have all the money you're supposed to have. He wants you to have a big new house and car. I really probably should have finished listening to him. But after he made that statement, I was done. What are we talking about? Who are we relating to? What point can somebody look at you and say, what Christian value, whom are you, what do you have in you that would make me seek out Christ? How can we understand how to relate the gospel? Can you relate it? A lot of people get scared. When I tell them, the next time you're sitting in a restaurant, lean over to the person next to you and go, Jesus loves you, I know you're not doing it. It's a scary thing to do. Well, not for me, because I don't have any sense. Ask my wife. But it can be a scary thing to do because you don't know what's liable to come next. Somebody's liable to look at you and go, yes, he does, and he loves you too. Thank you, brother. All right, then. Or they're liable to look at you and move away. Or they're liable to look at you and go, what? And start talking. Had an experience. I was in a grocery store. I had been given a task to go into the grocery store, and I think I've shared this, about praying right there in the candy aisle. Did I share that last Sunday? I had been tasked with going to the grocery store. Now, when I say task, Wendy writes out a list and says, don't deviate from this list. So I go into the grocery store with my list, and I start picking up the things, and I walk past a man, and he said, would you like to try the world's most sweetest apple? Well, yes, I would. They're called Kiku apples. They weren't on the list, but I bought a pound of them. Oh, they're good. Kiku. Love saying that. And then I happen to walk by the cheese aisle. Well, that ain't on the list, but man, we need some cheese. And I'm getting all this stuff in the cart, and suddenly I remember that I'd forgotten my wallet out in the truck. Ugh, I hate shopping in a grocery store. I parked the cart very cleverly hidden in the potato chip aisle and run out to the truck to get my wallet. And when I come back, there sat my cart, everything right where I left it. Got my cart and started pushing it around. Wound up over by the lobster tank. I didn't buy a lobster. Wasn't on the list. I knew that would be real trouble. I was on my way to the ice cream aisle. And somebody said, Paul! And I turned and looked. And a woman who's a friend of Wendy's and a friend of mine, consequently, was standing there. And she looked at me for a minute and she goes, haven't seen you for a while. And I said, no, how are you doing? And the tears immediately started. Please pray for me. What's wrong? And she began to relate that her marriage is falling apart. And that all she can do is pray, and she's waiting on a sign from God. I said, well, sister, look at you. Look at me. Had I not gone out to get my wallet, I would never have seen you, more than likely. Big grocery store. I was defining myself toward that ice cream aisle. And we spent 10 minutes while she poured out to me in the middle of a grocery store. To the point where I moved her over to an aisle and I prayed with her in the grocery store. Can you relate that? That's what's missing, brothers and sisters. That is what's missing. And that is what the Hebrew writer is telling us, that Jesus Christ can relate to us because he was made human. He can relate to our thoughts and our fears. He can relate to all these things. We have seen increasingly the word Christianity in the news if you've been watching it. Christianity, Christian this, Christian that, Christian this. All surrounding this presidential race. This Christian, that Christian, he's a Christian, she's a Christian. Everybody's a Christian. But they've been using it in a vulgar manner. They've been using it to describe people who might very well be Christians. When I'm not in this pulpit, I'm not in a tie. If I could figure out how to get away with not having to dress up and preach on Sunday morning, I would do it. But I heard a preacher on the radio the other day say something about, he said, for as long as I stand in that pulpit, I might be a farmer 6 days a week, but I want to put on my best for God on Sunday morning. So that ends it all for me right there. Once in a while, maybe I'll get a pair of bibs on. But in my rest of my world, I don't look like this. And I constantly have people, we know the joke, you're a pastor? You're a preacher? They get stunned by that word Christian. And the minute they figure that out, they wonder if I really am. And that is what's going on today. The relationship of Christianity to the world has become an excuse to run somebody in the ground. One of the candidates, and I don't know which one it is a Christian. And he made a statement in one of his question and answer periods that, yes, I did some dumb things in the public eye. But as I have gotten older, I have realized where I have slipped away from, and I've come forward to Christianity. But do you know what they're saying? Well, he ain't no Christian then. Look at all that stuff he did in the past. He can't possibly be a Christian. And so now they're watching every step he makes, waiting for him to slip up so that they can bandy about that all Christians are fakers, that it's all a farce. This is all a measure that's been laid up so that that moment that they slip a little bit, you hear, aha, gotcha. Can you relate to that? Can you relate to the fact that as Christians, that as somebody that walks in the way of Christ in this world, you are held to a standard that you can never possibly live up to? I don't care who you are. I personally ain't too worried about where you've been, because you ain't been nowhere that I ain't been. You crossed the line and said, Jesus Christ, save me. From that point on, I'm not worried about your past. I'm worried about you now. That is a Christian relationship. I don't want to hear this foolishness about, well, he used to be. Yeah, he used to be. I used to drink so much whiskey it'd make your head spin. Hard. You going to hold that against me? Or because I stepped forward and said, I am a sinner, I am a mess, I am a failure, I am the child of God and the treasure of Jesus Christ. I am linked to Him forever by a slave chain that will keep me to Him and make me constantly measure my own self against His teachings, not your teachings. If I fail, He loves, He forgives. He can relate. Amen. We need to bring that out. We need to relate that. First of all, putting yourself out there as a Christian don't make it so. I've used the statement before, going to church on Sunday makes you no more a Christian than sitting in your garage makes you a car. It's how you relate it. It's how you show yourself when the moment is called for. You can be sitting there with a bunch of fellers and they're all carrying on and cutting up, and you can mix it up with them, maybe use some foul language, maybe talk indecently, or you can just listen to them. And when they turn to you and go, what do you think? Well, I don't like that kind of language. I had a guy at work whom we just hired, and I've been dying to use this, and I finally got to do it, praise God. He was using that big bad word, that one that's four letters long, and he used it as a preposition, a noun, a verb, an adjective, a pronoun, in the space of one paragraph of sentences. And I had finally had enough, and I had heard this before and had been dying to use it. I looked him right in the face and said, does that look like a septic tank to you? And he went, "Oh man, I've been cussing, haven't I?" "Yeah." He said, "How do you stop doing that, Paul?" I said, "I just quit." Jerry Clower once said, he had a man tell him, people that cuss haven't been smart enough to read a book to learn how to describe something another way. We have to relate it. And then I got my chance. Look, man, this was me. You, me, I did this. But the power of Jesus Christ and my desire for Him has taken me from that. Has made it to the point where when I hear certain words and think about how strongly I use them, I cringe. Not that they are, because I did. We have to figure out how to relate the gospel. Now, the first thing, and the very first thing that must always go before you, make no mistake where I stand on this, it must always be is that we lay out the only truth, the one truth there is, and that is Jesus is the only true Son of God. Start there. Don't pay any attention to what anybody else says. Jesus is the only true Son of God. If somebody looks at you of another faith and says, "Well, we pray to God," no, you don't. Because you don't accept Jesus. That's the first truth. That's the firmest truth. That's the one place I will never give over on. And we do not deviate it. In order to relate, you have to say that and believe it. And you know that any deviation away from it takes away your power to relate the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you ever look at somebody and say, "Well, you know, I think he's the Son of God," you're done. If you look at somebody and you say, "Well, you know, you don't really need to go to church, but," you're done. I'm taking a hard line on this because I heard some things this week. I guess it's my time in the cycle of sermons to be a little bit strong today. So apologize, I will not. I want you all to be of the same mind. We need to relate the gospel of Jesus Christ because one day we're going to be called into an account. What did you do? What did you do? Who did you tell? Who did you talk to? Who did you pray for? Who did you relate it to? Open your Bibles back up again to verse 2 of chapter 5 of Hebrews and let's listen to these words. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. Gentle. Not ready to ride down on somebody when they've slipped and fell. Gentle. Brother, sister, okay. Let's pray. Let's get you back on the right way. Gentle. Gentle. It's always being that way. The minute they find out you're a Christian and you slip, they want to bring it down on you. And guess who's the worst of doing that, brothers and sisters? Christians. I've said it once, I've said it a thousand times. Jerry Clower liked to talk about how being your brother's keeper means being gentle when they've slipped, when their foot has slipped from behind the plow, when they've gotten out of the furrow. He says, and when he was a young man in the East Fork community of Southeast Louisiana, I can't talk like he does. He said, when somebody slipped, the deacons would get together and get with that brother and they'd pray for him and they'd keep him and they'd lift him up. He says, now that I'm much older and I'm a deacon of that church there at Liberty, Mississippi, he said, I'm going to tell you right now, I called a deacon the other day and I said, brother so-and-so's foot has slipped and we got to go over there and put our arm around him. And the man responded to me on the phone. He said, I ain't going over there till I know what that scallywag's done. What kind of foolishness has he done? Jerry said, I tell you what, brother, let's get a truckload of stones and go over there and stone him before we talk to him. Christians, that's who we can become. Can you relate to that? Gentle. Gentle. It's one of the most challenging things is to be gentle with that person that has fell, that you love dearly, because tomorrow you'll be that person. Verse 3, This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as the sins of the people. He has fallen, or there's a very real threat that he will. This is how we learn to relate it. I am far from perfect. Now, I like to try to tell Wendy that I am. I like to tell everybody I am the picture of perfectness. Look at me. Everybody laughs at that. I know how quickly I can fall. I know how much it takes for me to stay on this path, and that is constantly looking at what Jesus Christ would have in my life. Do I make it every day? No. Do I try? Yes. Do I beg and pray? Absolutely. This is where we get an understanding that gives us the strength to relate the gospel, to sit in that booth. Do you know my Jesus? To be that guy at the gas station that got me a couple weeks ago. I was in my bib overhauls and I was dirty getting a bucket of gas to take back for the mower tractor. And I just, as a matter of fact, shaved my beard today. Some of you noticed it was starting to get long. I'm trying to go for that old brother style, but Wendy won't let me. And I'm standing there getting a gas bucket full, and the man turns to me and he pulls out a little paper and he says, "Do you know my Jesus?" "Yes, sir, I do. I'm a preacher at Long Meadow Church of the Brethren." He goes, "Well, here, take this." I said, "Well, thank you very much." He goes, "It might help you." Now, that took something else. He related the gospel to me, and I felt good about it. I stood there talking to him while I was filling up. He had out-of-state tags, and he went on his merry way. It gives us the strength to relate the gospel to everybody, to everyone. And we are charged to relate with this. As we read on, we see more of the model of the temple priest. What he has to be chosen by God, not by his own desires. And that is the problem a lot of times today, that people want to be a preacher because they want that easy job. If you've been a pastor for very long, it's not an easy job. Oh, I suppose it is if you're in a big monster church and you got plenty of people doing everything else, but to become that high priest, or to put it in today's words, pastor, preacher, reverend, you need to be truly called. I was called constantly and would not listen. Chris was called. You're called, and you know you've been called. It is a feeling you cannot turn away from. It is an indwelling. I struggled against it because I did not believe that he would call somebody like me and put me in that position. Even now, the absolute truth and the purity of these scriptures call you to relate them gently, kindly, with compassion, knowing that you, me, us, were just a breath away from the person that we used to be. A breath. Because in one breath you breathed on that side, and the next breath you breathed, "Jesus Christ, save me." Never forgetting that breath just before. Amen. As we start to see at the end of the chapter, we're starting to really see what Jesus was. The Hebrew writer says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. Flip over in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. I want to say that again. I want you to look at those words as I read them. He began to be deeply distressed and troubled. Jesus Christ. He can relate. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if it be possible, that if possible the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. We know that the other gospel writers, Luke in particular, wrote that he prayed until the sweat was as blood and an angel had to come and strengthen him. Jesus Christ, the embodiment of peace and love, wrote and said these words, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He can relate because he has felt your own pain. We're not disconnected from God, from the Father on heaven anymore. We're connected through the Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus Christ. Even an angel had to come and strengthen him. Even Jesus, who had all the power of heaven, felt the pain and anguish we can feel and had to call to heaven for help. He can relate to us. He can relate to you. He can relate to whomever you choose to bring the gospel to. Our fears and the things we feel every day. How about your frustration with your neighbors? Anxiety over medical tests, bills, the people that we are charged with caring for, the direction of our own family. We spend so much time trying to figure out why the enemy is so hard on us. The answer is obvious: because we are chosen, because we said, because we asked, because we begged Jesus into our life, and he is mad at losing us, Jesus can still relate. That good news. Can you relate to the lost? Can you personally relate to those who are lost? Then you can relate the gospel at the same time. Those who are fallen, those who have let weakness overcome them, has it ever happened to you? Have you ever fell? It don't take much. And I'm not talking about tremendous falls. I'm talking about stumble or a little bit of a trip along the way or a moment when weakness paralyzed you. Can you relate to that? Can you relate it to someone who's lost, to someone who doesn't know Christ? You can relate the gospel. You can relate that good news. My never-ending challenge is, as always, and as follows. First of all, relate Jesus to yourself. Make sure that you don't let anything get in there and whitewash it. I'm sitting in a class right now where a teacher and I had a big discussion last week about how we should let other faiths mix in with our faith. And I said, no. And he said, well, we should. I said, we can love them and talk to them, but to ask them to help us in our own journey to God is wrong. And he said, no, it's not wrong. I said, if you take a piece of clean metal that you want it to stay clean and you lay it outside, it becomes rusty. Why? Because you introduced a bad element to it. So first of all, strengthen yourself. Relate to Jesus. Strengthen yourself within. Should we pray for him, Lucy? Is that a call? We'll get to that in a minute then. Strengthen yourself within. Listen to him and let him strengthen you. Then relate to those around you. Take a chance. If we truly believe in the Spirit, take a chance. We're given the opportunity every day to relate the good news. Take a chance. Can you relate? Do it. Then come tell me about it. Come share about it in church. Paul, I did it. Take that chance. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, one of ours has been called out to do that duty which you have placed upon him. And while it is his life and it has become part of his life all these many years, we pray that he is looked over. He is kept in grace and comfort, for he knows not what peril he must face. And while we don't often think about it, we're thinking about it right now. And so we ask right now that the entire body here prays for his safekeeping and return, as well as those he will minister with and those he will be going to rescue. We ask a continuing prayer within ourselves, Father, that you would continue to strengthen us so that we may relate the gospel, that you would continue to give us that relationship with Jesus Christ, which will continue to allow us to talk of your good name, so that one day when we hear those words, what have you accounted for? This, Father, I spoke often of your Son. Let us be strengthened. Let us go from here today knowing that we will take that chance and that we will relate to those around us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So now it's time for you to take a chance. Don't sit back here and be afraid. If it's prayer you need, if it's strengthening you need, as we sing the last hymn, He Touched Me. Come forward and have prayer with me. Can you relate?
Please stand and turn to page 505.
To somebody, somewhere, somehow, and feel the blessing restore your soul from there within. I pray your feet made to be solid upon the path that we walk until we're brought together again, either on Wednesday night for prayer meeting, on Monday night at the rescue meeting, or down at church on Sunday morning. And if not, that we see each other again on God's golden shore. I pray this now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forever.